So here we are, Worldwide Live through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible for us. I welcome all those who are joining in online. This is a simulcast with a conference call. We have a bunch of people here already. We're still 1 minute away from the hour. Thank you for being here. And Ruzia, do I pronounce your name right? Ruzia?
Yes, it's Ruzia. That's right. That's me.
All right. Let me see. Let me find the phone number for you. So there is. Let me first welcome this person. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Dharmananda.
Hey, Dharmananda. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
All right. Good to hear your voice again. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
All right.
Dr. Terry from Cleveland.
So if there are more people who sometimes have an issue with dialing into any of the conference calls...
I've just heard Terry.
Number.
I've just heard Terry Friedman. Hello, Terry.
Oh.
Hello, Uncle Terry. How are you doing?
Hello,
Hello, Uncle Terry.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for being here again. And more people joined in. I welcome you all. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Wynn.
Hey, Wynn. Welcome to the call. Wynn who? Free?
Wynn Free.
Right.
Is Terry there? Terry Friedman?
Yes, he is.
Hello, Uncle Terry.
Yes, hello.
Good to hear you.
Okay. Good to be here.
All right. Now, Wynn, I welcome you. Thank you so much for being here and for doing what you're doing. We are live.
Oh, yeah.
Video.
Well, it's just like if the shoe fits, you have to wear it.
Yes.
What size is it?
What size? 10.5 to 11.
Right.
You know, truthfully, I love delegating things.
Are you serious?
I love delegating things. And, you know, early on when I was getting raw messages in my sleep, which I still get, I had this funny message.
And a picture
now, keep in mind, I've done a million things in my life. You know, some of you know that. And, you know, I do things and I say, this is boring. What do I want to do this for? You know? I even thought that when I was playing music. I said, okay, I'm writing great songs, but who wants to be stuck with being famous? Right? So I got a message that said, you finally found a job you won't get tired of. I think they were right. It's Terry there. Terry Brown there.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Welcome.
Hi, Terry.
Welcome to the call, Terry.
Hi. Hello.
Thank you so much for being here again. It's great to hear your voice. Uncle Terry is here, and we have a bunch of more people on the conference call. And we are worldwide live on BBS. And what I wanted...
This conference is being recorded.
There are a few people that once in a while have an issue with a problem with dialing into one of the conference calls. And I have two alternative phone numbers here. If it doesn't work with the phone number which is in the email, then what you can try to do is dial the following number, which is 559-546-1400. So that's one option. And or there's
does
even
that does that work for all three calls or just this one?
For all the calls. And then the other number is 951-262-7373. So if you use any one of those two numbers, and now what you do is once you dial in, you wait for the prompts, and then you dial the regular phone number, which is for, you know, which you would dial for tonight's call, without the one before the area code. So
and you test, is that number that you said supplied by free conference calls?
Correct.
Someone else.
That is correct.
It's their backup way of getting into the call. Right?
Yes. Sometimes people, for the carrier does not want to let you through, and it throws an error, and then you just dial the other phone number, and then it will work.
I see. Okay. Great. And until you try it, don't believe it, but it might work. How many times did you try it, Ives?
I've tried it several times, and I had feedback from other people that, yes, it works.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, you know what? Send me that information, and I'll add it to our mail.
I will.
That we send, you know, email, so people can try it. I'll try it myself a couple times. And we started the recording. I guess I was supposed to put that on the recording. This is June 23rd, 2014. And this is Wynn and Terry Brown in Sedona, Uncle Terry in Phoenix. Let's send Uncle Terry, let's send Terry Friedman love and healing. And we are discombobulated today, at least I am, because we are leaving tomorrow night for this International New Age Trade Show. And I'm still putting literature together, and Terry is still doing transcripts. And she finally found a job she won't get tired of also. Right, Terry?
Right.
That applies
to
you.
I like doing transcripts.
Yeah. Well, that's not only your job. That's just a service. But, you know, Terry told me if she had her way, she would be going through St. Catherine's channelings and re-editing
them. No, I won't do that. No.
They didn't have tape recorders in those days, okay? You know, for those of you that are tracking our work, some of you skip the step of reading the materials. And I think that's a huge mistake. You know, right now we have three books that are all totally reality changing. And part of what I have to do is make these calls entertaining and fun. And I think they are, plus adding in the element of sacred and the profound into the mix of the energy, you know, the fun. And you can kind of slide through just by being on the calls and enjoying the calls. And that's fine if that's what you do, but you're missing a really big aspect of things if you don't read the materials. Because the goal here is not just for you to be kind of dependent on the energy of these calls. The goal, well, you know what? I don't want to say what your goal should be. If that's your goal, then you can have that as a goal. And just, it's fine. You shouldn't just do what you do. But really is to make some kind of connection with these group souls energetically, that you know they're paying attention to you, that you know you're loved. And then beyond that, to learn how to empower yourself so you can add this expanded way of being in this realm. And I don't believe, and I may be wrong, nothing's true for anybody, but well, let me just say, reading the materials is a extremely good way of grounding the energies. I mean, they have said more than once, as you study us, we study you. You see, the words, even when they're in printed form, carry a resonance. And the resonance triggers energies in higher realms. So when you read the words and you trigger those resonances, it starts to make a connection, and the words become alive. You know, I think the same thing was said of Jesus. There was a word that was used about that. Living, I'll ask Terry Friedman in a moment, but it's like you're a portal. You are a portal. Each of us is a portal into higher dimensions. But in order to access your portal or to create your portal, you have to reach. And the more you reach, the more you intend, the more you'll create it. And if you're just being passive and letting someone else do it, then that will work. But then you go back to yourself and you don't know how to activate those energies. And ultimately, you have to learn. Let me just say, I shouldn't say you have to. If you want the best results from all of this, you have to learn to activate the energies. And reading the materials is one of the most powerful ways of doing it. Of course, when you're on the calls, we ask questions. They're present on many of our calls. They're present on all of our calls. They're present. You can be sure they're watching us right now. I know they're watching us. You know, oftentimes you'll note that if Terry comes in and we start a channeling, they know everything that's happening on the call. And I think they're using Terry partially to know, but I don't even know. They're probably on the call even without Terry. Because what do you think, Terry? Do you have to be on the call for them to pay attention?
Well, I think that it helps in... Hello?
I'm here. Go ahead.
I think it helps to ask, because they... I think they pay attention to our call because we've asked them to pay attention. But if somebody has a request, they really pay attention to that. Whether we bring their attention to it or not.
They pay attention to it anyway.
Yeah.
So being on these calls is one way of activating the connection. And reading the materials is another way. And I know myself, when this first started for me, my conscious mind said, this can't be real. This can't be real. I must be making a mistake. And it took me a few years of very intense research, asking questions, testing the relationship, and looking for the consistency, and finally, feeling the energy. You know, I mean, we're making the premise here that there's a group soul that created the universe that's able to project energy so that we feel it down here. And the first time that came up, the very first time, was after my sister's lupus went away, and I said, how did you do that? And they said, we just projected a filter into her blood and filtered the lupus out. And, I wish I could get them to do that just by asking, because people think I can. When? Ask the Elohim to filter my lupus out. Ask this, ask that. And I don't think they want to be on call to do miracles. I don't think so. But who knows what might happen in the future. Apparently, somebody was on call with Jesus to do miracles all the time. And but when it's been talked about recently, it's been said that miracles cause people to give up the power and that they're working now with the principle of making you curious and reaching back, because that creates a co-creative relationship, as opposed to just doing miracles. Because, and then, so I watch how that works. And there's lots of little miracles that happen around our work, and sometimes really big miracles. But, you know, they're not standing there saying, we did it. They're not saying, give us credit. They're not saying, pray to us to have a miracle. They're not saying that. And oftentimes they won't take credit. But when you look at it, you say, hey, it must have been them. But there's always room for doubt, okay? Maybe it was coincidence. You can try to say that. But many of you have observed this yourself over time on our calls. And it's like they're not there to be controlled and say, do this for me, fix this. But the same token, at the most unexpected times, crazy things happen. Like the guy that went into the casino in Atlantic City and said, if I win something, I'm going to give it to Terry. I'm going to give a percentage to Terry and win. And he pulled the slot machine down and won $10,000. Now, somebody else tried that recently, and they said, if I win something, I'm going to give something to Terry and win. And they went and bought a lottery ticket, and they won $6. And I told them, they better send us $2. Okay, that completes the energy. It's not the $2, it's the completion of the energy. And that usually these things happen not when you're focused on them happening, not when you're saying, okay, heal me right now. I'm ready. I can feel it, you know? Suddenly something has a subtle shift, and you realize that, I think that was them, you know, because there's no logical explanation for it. And the other thing is that you have to be cheery, even with your oppression, even with your obstacles, even with your illness, you need to be cheery. You need to allow yourself to be uplifted, because if you're saying, woe is me, it is very hard for healing energy to come through woe is me, okay? And, I mean, even if you're in, I mean, Carla's a good example, and I wish she would get you, I really do. But even the way she is, she's in bed, and she manages always, or usually, to be very uplifted. You never hear any woe is me in Carla Ruckert's voice. And so I think she's an example of that. And if you're cheery, even if you don't get healed, at least you're cheery. I say, okay, I've been cheery now for a week. I'm smiling at people, everything. I feel good inside. My heart's open. And then I didn't get healed. The hell with this being cheery stuff. I'm going back to being, what's the word, grumpy or sad or victimized or whatever. Well, that's silly, because if you were cheery, even if nothing happens, why would you go back, okay? Being cheery makes it much more pleasant to be alive in this realm. And this is not what I plan to talk about. In fact, I'm sorry I didn't send an email out today. I had no idea. This afternoon, we're so busy, and I'm still behind. And usually, when we go to do these shows, I think the last two times we did it, we missed our plane. And Terry is worse than me, because I can finally get it ready. And then Terry is always doing something. And so we resolved to leave tomorrow night. And that way we're leaving for the airport a day earlier. It's like a two-hour drive from Sedona to the Phoenix airport. So in any case, I was going to make it easy on myself today. And I'm talking about reading. One of the first things that triggered me in the reality of the systems we're putting out was my introduction to the Ra Group through David Wilcock and then Carla Ruckert. And studying the Carla Ruckert material is awesome, her Ra material. Listening to a Law of One workshops, you know, and when we put this stuff out there, we have like, how many hours? We have about 25 hours of audio in our Law of One Made Simple workshop for only $20 to $25. And if you can't afford it, you can donate $5. But there is such awesome material in there and stuff that's so far out. You know, you wouldn't, unless you were introduced to it in the right way, you'd have to say, how do I know this is real? And you can still say that. And then the idea that Edgar Cayce was channeling the same Ra group is, and I spent a lot of study of Edgar Cayce's material to convince myself that that was true. And because nowhere, ever, anywhere in written history, except in my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, was it indicated that the Edgar Cayce material was from the Ra group. Edgar Cayce said it was from the Christ. And then as I was studying all these things, I was putting together the pieces, because if it was the Ra group and Jesus was connected to the Ra group, which I put together a lot of stuff to convince me of that, then it would make sense that Edgar Cayce was, who, when he said it was the Christ, essentially he was correct, because if Jesus was part of the Ra group, then the Ra group could be called the Christ. The Christed energy. And as I began to study it all, I started to see that the Christ, what the Ra group was doing, this is my take. No one else ever has said this, okay? And I know Terry Friedman's on the line, and he doesn't have to believe it, or he has to do his own research, or I have to give him the research. But that the Ra group was able to create a portal from the higher dimension to Jesus. And that portal was designed to give people a ticket out of this realm and to experience what Christians call the Holy Spirit. And that when I was younger, I used to hang out with certain spiritual teachers, and I would feel that energy, and sometimes they would talk about the Christ, sometimes they'd talk about Jesus, and sometimes they wouldn't, but if they were coming from a certain space, I could feel this energy. And now I think that, see, people have to experience this themselves, so if I say it, I don't think you should believe it, but to my experience, the energy of the Christed energy is on this line, and that there's no hierarchy here. This is a manifestation of the Law of One, and as soon as I say certain things, I feel the energy. Did you notice when I said it's on this line, there was a shift in the energy? I did. Some of you may have. And this is something I had to learn. I mean, I wouldn't believe that I could say that and it would happen. And but I feel it. And then when there's this shift of energy, there's this sacred space, and I feel connected. And we feel, you know, from the feedback I get, you feel connected. And we are learning how to bring this energy in and have that sense of connection on the inner planes. It's certainly not doing it on the outer planes. And it's not on the it's not the telephone line. Now, you may think it's my voice. You may think that. But that's the illusion of the physical realm. The wind is doing it. But I am not doing it. I show up, and I started to get the idea that they show up. And I mentioned how this all unfolded. It happened first with my sister, and they said we projected a filter into her breath, her blood. And, of course, that was the Elohim group. And then I gave my first talk on the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce in 2004 in San Diego. And I didn't talk about the Elohim. I didn't talk about anything about my own experience. And the room was flooded with energy. I could see it. I mean, it was like glaring at me. People would leave the room. They would leave the room, and Terry was outside selling books. And they would line up to buy books, and they were saying things like, I could see auras. I never saw auras before. I could feel the energy in the room. And we did a channeling, and I said, can you explain that energy in the room? And they said, that was us. We were helping you. And that absolutely blew my mind. I mean, it never even occurred to me that that could be possible, that this group soul that created the universe, that say they did, that are answering all the questions about it, and another group soul that's made up of graduates of this realm, and that I go into a room and they're projecting energy into the room in a way that people could feel it. Now, I was not unfamiliar with this energy. I had been to many spiritual groups over the years, and I could feel energy, sometimes greater, sometimes lesser, but I was always sensitive to energy. And usually, whoever was at the front of the room, they never talked about the Elohim or the Ra group. They'd say that was God or that was the Holy Spirit. And sometimes they would use that energy as a way to try to seduce people to make money from them. That doesn't mean that's bad. You know, if their intent is pure, then you can charge for something because people do have to live. And, you know, and we're struggling to live. So we're not any different. And we were doing readings at one point, and maybe we'll do them again. And if you're one of the people that paid for a reading, we had about six people, and it came to a screeching halt, send me an email, and I'll give you your money back. But Terry is saying, we got to do those people, so we're going to catch up and do them in the next couple of weeks. And if we catch up, maybe we'll find a way to do some more readings, because the readings are awesome. They really are. And but we have to charge for them. And I don't like to charge for it, but we have to, because it's too much energy and too much time. And the most important thing is to get for me, I have to work to get this out to a huger audience. You know, we have worked very hard, and all of you have helped beyond what you probably even realize. You think you're anonymous, but you are helping. We talked about that on Sunday, helping to ground the energy into, some people say ground it into the grids, ground it into the collective. But we have created a little niche in the collective. And that's why I sound more confident. That's why things feel differently. And that's why things get better. Because we have that niche in the collective. We've established it. We, I mean us and you and the Elohim. And we've done it by asking, by intention. And we've done it bit by bit by bit by bit I did. At one point, when my book came out, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I asked him, I said, how are we supposed to do this? I mean, putting a book out and promoting a book was easy. I mean, you know what you're supposed to do. You have a book, you have a product. Putting the creation, you know, this relationship with the Elohim out, I didn't know where to start. I didn't know how to talk about it. I didn't know how to make myself credible or believable. And, you know, I asked a question. I said, how am I supposed to put this out into the world? And they said, put it out one person at a time, and it will get its own legs. And that's what I started doing. I just started talking about it. And a lot of people just turned away. And then a certain amount of people read my books, get to the website, and stayed interested. And at some point, we had our first conference call. But I had to deal with all these, you know, the majority, most people didn't follow it in any way or track it. They just said, that's an interesting story. And then they went their way. And then a few people started tracking it. And it started to be meaningful to them. And one of the people that was in that original talk in San Diego in 2004, where all the energy was present, still paying attention to our work. Maybe there's others that I don't know about, but I know she still pays attention. And sometimes she's been on the calls and says hello and listens to the archives. And it's a slow burn. It's a gradual increase in energy. And I can see why they said talk to one person at a time. Because it's like a trickle, 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 stream, stream, river, torrent, okay? But it has to start in the other realms. And then it downloads into this realm. It can't start in this realm. Because, I mean, it starts because it comes out of your mouth and talk to somebody. But it doesn't fit into any of the normal grounding structures in this realm. What are grounding structures? Well, movies, books, self-help books. You know, if you write a self-help book, everybody knows what a self-help book is. If you write a good one that has a different angle, you can be very, very successful, and you're not busting the paradigms of this realm. But this work is a paradigm buster. And just the premise of it makes people go, this guy must be on an ego trip, or he must be weird. And, you know, this idea of being trickle, 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 and the trickle turns into a stream, and the stream turns into a river, and the river turns into a flood. Now, I have an idea that Jesus probably did the same thing, although he had one thing that was a little easier, and that was he was predicted, and people said, he's the one we've been waiting for. That's not the case with this work. No one's waiting for it. So you have to create, that was a ground. You understand, all the prophecies of the Old Testament were a grounding that Jesus could work with, just as with David Wilcock, Edgar Cayce, it was a grounding that the Edgar Cayce material predicted that he would return in 1998, live in Virginia Beach, maybe in Liberator of the World, and then Wilcock comes in, and people hear that, and they say, maybe he is Cayce, and they start paying attention to his work. Because it's really hard to get people to pay attention to this kind of stuff. They think it's wacko, crazy. It confronts their religion. It confronts their reality systems. You know, it confronts everything. And yet, it's the basis, seems to me, that many of those systems are built upon. You know what? Since we have Terry on the line, if he's Terry Friedman, if he feels like sharing, maybe he could talk, you know, see if I've got it right about the trickle turning into a torrent. Terry, are you there?
Yes.
Does that make any sense to you? Now, if you're tired, you don't have to talk. I'm just, how do you feel? Would you like to or not?
Oh, not.
Not? Okay. All right.
Yeah, it sounds right. This is what I picked up from my experience with Jesus.
Yeah.
It's a tree where it starts small and build.
Right.
Exactly right.
Okay. You know, it's like the song I wrote. I wonder if I have that song on this line. Somebody would get mad at me if I play the song. Let me see here. It's Iva's favorite song, I think. Let me see if it's here. I don't think it's here. Everybody, wait a second. Oh, yeah, I hear it. Well, it's Billy singing. It's not me. But should I play that song? It's exactly what I'm talking about. It's kind of like the way the collective energy works is that when you start to become, the more acceptable you start to become, the more people start being interested in you. No matter what you do, it's like when you're all by yourself and nobody knows it, you meet one person, it's very hard for them to grasp what you're doing. But when you become two people, three people, four people, and this works for the negative as well, unfortunately, when there's a group of people paying attention to you, it starts to pull more people in to pay attention to you. You know, having done shows, this is something that you could watch all the time. If you're sitting in a booth and nobody's stopping, nobody stops. And that as soon as you have a crowd, you get more of a crowd because everybody thinks there's something going on there. And it doesn't matter what you're selling. It's like the crowd draws attention. As soon as, you know, when you're walking around and you're lonely and you wished you had a partner or a mate, and then nobody wants you. They feel your loneliness. And as soon as you start a relationship, you become really attractive. Everybody suddenly is attracting you. That's what that song, everybody loves you and everybody loves you. Everybody wants you and everybody wants you. Everybody needs you and everybody needs you. But nobody does. When nobody does, the rock and roll song. And should I play it, Terry? What do you think, Terry Brown? Hello, Terry? Are you unmuted?
There. Oh, yeah. No. Somebody said no.
No. No one said no.
But did somebody say no there?
Okay, hang on.
All callers are muted.
I'm going to play it. The only problem with it is on what I've learned is the sometimes songs with drums and bass are illegible on the call. I'll start to play it. If it seems illegible, I'll just stop it. Usually the songs where there's just a simple vocal and a guitar, because the telephone is not the best hi-fi unit. But I just want to see if you guys can hear the lyrics, because it's kind of the principle that we're talking about.
I mean, you play the recorded one on the conference.
All right. We could hear the lyrics. I could hear the lyrics. That's a good sign. So, see, that is like the really spiritual truth in there. And it's really an appeal to never disregard anyone because of how they look on the surface. Now, you could make a mistake. You may end up, if you're not intuitive, you can get in trouble by trying to help people that are going through hard times, because the real thing is, are they responding in gratitude? Are they feeling entitled? If they're responding in gratitude, then you can feel it. And when you feel gratitude, gratitude is a divine quality. Appreciation is a human quality. And that, learn how to, I know, for example, that many of you feel gratitude for the work we're doing. Feel gratitude that we keep showing up. Terry feels the gratitude. Heise feels the gratitude. If the gratitude weren't there, our volunteers feel the gratitude. And gratitude is a divine quality. It doesn't require, like, win. That was very good. Although, you can say that. It's not that that's bad. But I can feel it. And you can feel it. And it's what you look for when you reach out to help someone. And sometimes you have to take a risk at first, because you're not sure if there's going to be gratitude or not. And so it's okay to take a risk, as long as you're not risking more than you can afford to lose, okay? And that you have a back door to withdraw and not stay on line with an individual who is going to now dump on you all the time, expect you to fix them all the time, want to borrow money all the time. It's like you need to keep your spider senses out. And it's like, if you give somebody money and loan them money because they're really having a hard time, understand they may not pay you back. And you have to build that into your original loan. And you say, if they don't pay me back, then that's okay. And next time they ask, I may not give it to them. But I'm still be there for them. I'll be their friend. People don't, it's not that they're intending not to pay you back. They may even be intending. And, you know, if they're really of high integrity, they're going to come to you and say, I can't keep my commitment. I'm so sorry. You know, I know I owe you $30, but how about if I pay you $1 a week to, like, clear it? They will want to clear it, and you can work with that. And if you really think that loaning them $30 a second time might make the difference, their telephone's getting turned off, they got job interviews coming up, could you please help? You have to say, okay, but I'm willing to lose $30. I'll risk it again. And you have to decide how many times you're willing to risk it. And you have to decide if there's gratitude. You know, if a woman decides to spend the night with a man, that is certainly an area that is fraught with huge risk for many women, because they know they want to support the guy. They feel his neediness. And then, is he going to respond with gratitude? Not obligation, but gratitude? Or is he just going to take the energy, run with it, and not call the woman? And suddenly she's going to feel victimized. So if you're a woman, you have to be willing to take the risk and know that it's a calculated risk. And if you're going to feel victimized and devastated, then it's more than you can afford to risk. You have to decide if you can handle it, because you don't know how something's going to turn out. And oftentimes it takes a while to develop these energies and to develop these feelings. And it would be nice if we could walk into relationships, and maybe occasionally someone does, but we could walk into a relationship and it's perfect at the get-go. You feel loved, they feel loved, you have a common purpose, you know what to do, but that is rare. And you can wait for that, and sometimes you have a long period of courtship, and that helps to develop that. But there's no rule, there's no law that says do it this way or do it that way. You are the master of your decisions. And you are the person that understands yourself. And you are the person that has to decide, I can afford to take that risk, I'm strong, I feel emotionally secure. And if I'm talking about a woman, now, if the person doesn't come back and they run off and they don't call me again, I'll feel bad for a couple of days and then I'll clear it. On the other hand, if the person comes back, when they come back again, suddenly there's a building of energy, and you suddenly end up with the relationship that you always wished you had. But there's no way you can have a relationship, an intimate relationship with another person, without dealing with each other's shadows. So it means if you're going to deal with somebody's shadow, you have to look at the things about them that irritate you from the shadow side and say, I can work around that. And if you can't work around it, then you're going to think I have to change them. And if you think you have to change somebody, it is not going to work. Love makes people change. When they feel totally accepted, they start to change. But if you're with anybody and you have to make them change to meet your standards or to feel comfortable with them, it's probably not going to be a good relationship. And I know I've gone through relationships like that. And, you know, what I found was, even after 3 or 4 years, we finally broke up, and the thing that was there in the beginning was there at the end. It did not change. And it's like, that doesn't mean it won't change for some people. Maybe something will change. But if something's going to change, it's not going to be because you're telling the person you have to change. It has to come from a flow, and it has to do with your being able to accept them as they are. And if you can't accept them, or if they can't accept you, if they see your faults and they keep telling you you're wrong, it's probably not going to work out. That's my experience. I'm not saying you have to abandon it. You have to decide. But usually, I don't think ever, when that was present, when I thought, so I was usually more accepting than other people. Other people wanted me to change in some way. And whenever that was the case, it didn't work. And if I tried to act the way they wanted me to work, I felt really constrained and restricted. I'm sure some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, I don't know. We're rambling on here. We started out with Edgar Cayce and Ruben Souls, and I was going to read a couple things. Maybe I'll do that. A couple things that I had read when I was originally studying Edgar Cayce and David Wolcott and trying to compare them. And let me see. I did some, see if I marked the right page here. If you know, here we go. There's a book called Edgar Cayce's Astrology for the Soul. And all the things in here are not based just on astrology. They got some really good quotes from Edgar Cayce. Let's see here. There's one particular thing. Let me just read some of these. Now remember, my take is that this came from the Ra group. Each soul that manifests itself in human form is thy brother, and the spirit and soul of same is in the form of thy maker. Now that sounds just like Christian and Jesus inside itself. And ye must be one, one with another, one with him. If ye would be, as indeed you are, corpuscles in the life flow of the Redeemer, then those so entering must continue through the earth until the body-mind is made perfect for the soul or the body celestial again. Though the conditions about you, about any soul, may be as torments, they are only used as puppets and are as nothing. For without passing through each and every stage of development, there is not the correct vibration to become one with the Creator. Though the earth through the stars may pass away, though there may be changes in the universe as to relative positions of the stars and planets, these are brought about by those combinations of that speck of human activity as relative to the soul's expression in any sphere of experience. Now, I'd have to read that one a couple of times to try to figure that one out, okay? In passing through the law, the readings tell us we become perfect, but not in materiality. Man's development is given, is of man's understanding and applying the laws of the universe. And as man applies those, man develops. Man brings up the whole generation of man. Okay? We bring up the whole generation of man by understanding and applying the laws of the universe. The first laws then partook of that of the study of self, the division of mind, the division of the solar system, the division of man in various spheres of existence through the earth plane and through the earth's solar system.
When are we supposed to leave?
It's time. The call's over?
It's still on right now, but we're supposed to leave.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you all for listening. I hope that Edgar Cayce stuff was interesting. And I know that the interesting thing is how similar the resonance of the way those thoughts are put together, which I think come from the Ra group, compared to the stuff from David Wilcox, from Carla Walker, and even Jesus. So on that note, we're going to end this call. I'm going to say thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting the energy of this work.